Today is Friday. That's right, Friday. It is January, February, March, April 6th. I got to count it out and convince myself it's really April.
Do it by the weather. It's 35 degrees.
I know it. It's December 19th, 2017. No, it's April 6th, 2018. It's 11:12 in the morning. It's 40 degrees outside, and it snowed hard at yesterday's White Sox home opener. I'm John Williams, and this is the Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast. We record in the studios of WGN Radio. Hey, listen to my weekday radio show, too, on WGN, why don't you? It's on from 1 to 3, and on Saturdays, we're on from 10 a.m. till noon.
I'm Steve Bertrand, the host of the Wintrust Business Lunch, and in honor of Eric Zorn, I think I'm eternally optimistic.
That's right. Eric will not be joining us today. We will miss that.
And I'm the eternally cynical Scott Stantis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and creator of the comic strip Prickly City and co-host of the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN+.
Our colleague here at WGN Radio, Patty Vasquez, who does the Pretty Late Show on WGN Radio.
And can't tell time.
Will be joining us in moments, but we're going to get rolling, guys. In fact, let's just talk for a minute about a couple of local things before we go to Trump land. I know Patty has something to say about that. On the side of the Tribune Tower, there is a great big sign that says Chicago Tribune. The newspaper is exiting its namesake building, and today there is a suit. It's being filed by the buyers of the building who still want those words, Chicago Tribune, emblazoned on the side of the building, but Tronc, the owners of the Tribune and the building, say no, the sign is coming with us. Scott, you work for that newspaper.
I do.
What should happen to that sign?
Technically it's attached to the building. It seems to me you bought the building, you bought the sign.
Usually in real estate.
Don't you think?
And well, there's a clause in the contract that says that we get the sign for $1, but the Tribune says that's not applicable in this case, so we'll let a judge or jury figure that out. But usually in real estate, stuff that's attached to the house, this is how most of us relate to it,
yeah,
stays with the house.
Yeah, but if it says Bertrand on the side of the house,
boy,
I think that you, I mean, is this more about them wanting to keep the letters or them wanting to protect their identity and say this isn't us anymore?
That's how they're fighting it mostly. They're going to say, no, that's proprietary, that's a copyrighted thing. And suppose they put a sex shop up there. Sex novelties went in there. I don't know.
Oh, you mean and the Tribune sign was still on there?
And the sign is still there. I could just see how the Tribune does not like any association with its name that they don't control.
That's a good point.
You know, my first reaction was this, though. Patty Vasquez now strolling into the studios as we are just on our first topic. Patty, thank you for joining us.
Good. I'm just trying to get a chair that isn't underneath the table.
Patty, we are talking about the
sign on the big old Chicago Tribune sign. On the
sign
side
that
of
says
Tribune
Chicago
Tower.
Tribune on
Let's
the side.
Let's just stop
of the
this one now because this is the best Mincing Rascals ever.
Roll tape. Are we on already? What happens?
But my first reaction to it was, as a resident of the city and a person who sees it, I would hate to see the Chicago Tribune logo ripped off the side of this building.
Well, then they should have bought more papers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this is what happens. The Tribune doesn't live here anymore. And if it's the Tribune sign and their trademark, I mean, I don't know, lawyer, I don't know what's going to happen.
But it's still a beautiful building, but it's iconic with Chicago Tribune, blam, emblazoned on the side. What would your preference be just as a third party? You'd like the sign on the side of the building.
Well, I
thank you, Patty. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'd love to have the sign on the side of the building. That would be lovely.
Scott Stantis, go.
My question is, what happens when, you know, what are they going to do with it? Let's assume for a moment that Tribune wins. Are we going to plaster it on the front of the Prudential building
tea
we're moving to?
They could auction it off. They could put it in the hallway and run it down a long corridor in the Tribune.
I get the yes.
They could make it a kid's playground, right? Kids climbing all over the letters in some park.
Well, all of those are not crazy ideas.
I really do think, though, your point is the best one, or maybe it was mine, that you know, that it's about protecting their identity as well. They're now labeling a building. You know, companies don't buy corporate naming rights to buildings that they don't agree with or don't have some say over. This, in a way, is a corporate naming right ordeal.
But this will always be Tribune Tower. It will forever. I mean,
not Sears Tower to a lot of people now.
But it doesn't say Sears in big letters. And by the way, it is to a lot of us, Sears Tower.
Yeah, the older people. I mean, not to my kids.
Naming rights are $1 million a year, or $10 million.
That, yeah.
And the Wrigley Chewing Gum Company never has to pay for all of the free publicity they get for Wrigley Building. Another local story. It's suburban Maine West. The school's nickname and mascot are the Warriors. Picture and video have gone viral this week of the ceremony at a recent assembly where the honor of being the mascot is handed from one student to another.
Oh, what a terrible thing to do to a kid.
You know, it's funny, too, because the students go bananas, and the kid does a warrior dance. He comes out. Got his arms crossed in front of him. He's got the headdress and the leather garb, and the dance is really well executed and not simple. I mean, I'm impressed with what they showed when they did the dance. But obviously, some people have now seen the video in various Indian nations, and so the school is re-examining the use of the mascot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about
that? As a Lane Tech grad, we're the Lane Tech Indians. And actually, we talked about this even back when I was in school in the 90s about is this okay to do? And we've been talking about it now for, 30 years?
Yeah, I know.
And nothing's changed. We don't take it. There were people I was friends with at University of Illinois. So I've gone to two schools where the mascot, I guess you would say, or the...
Is that why you went?
Yes. I'm just going to transfer over this Native American symbol to this Native American symbol. You know, I guess there's always going to be a way to justify the reason that you are doing something. And then there comes a point where you have people who are being threatened and attacked because they disagree with it. I had a friend who had her windows broken because she was a protester against Chief Iwek. So, I mean, I've always thought, at least even when I was a kid, I thought, well, if this bothers somebody and we've already done so much to this community, is it really that much of a trial on us? Is it much of a burden to go, okay, I see your point of view.
Did Lane Tech change?
No, Lane Tech is still the Lane Tech
Indians.
Are they?
Really?
And we have the newspapers called The Warrior. And so, yeah.
I went to Marquette when they were the Marquette Warriors, and now they're struggling in basketball.
I'm a former Manuka Indian. What's your point? But your thoughts about this?
They switched to the Golden Eagles.
Yeah,
sure.
What do you think should happen at this high school?
I think that's a very low standard, Patty. If someone is offended, we should change.
Offended is different than seeing their traditions hijacked.
Okay.
That's a different thing altogether.
But it goes back, and I'm trying to remember, there was an NBC reporter years ago I had this conversation with when a lot of this was coming up, and he sort of had that standard. You know, if there are people who have genuine offense or... can show harm, then we should acquiesce to them. I'm assuming that the people who are complaining have never been to Maine West or couldn't name the town that it's in, you know? So I'm a little resistant to let people who, just because they can afford an internet to dictate policy.
Right. From my point of view, it was people from within the community in University of Illinois and at Lane Tech.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
But aren't you missing the whole context here? It's not that somebody's offended. It's offended because white people executed genocide on Indian tribes all across America, number one. And number two, now we turn it into the word they used was entertainment, an entertaining mascot for the school.
The reason it's a mascot is because it's an entire population that was decimated, and we continue to use it in ways that
I think it's chosen for. I think it's actually more benevolent than that in a weird way that you want a mascot to be something that's badass, that projects, you know, we're triumphant and we're going to win.
Well, nobody picks a loser as their mascot, right? You celebrate the chief, and the chief celebrates the school.
Well,
and
it's
all
a romanticized story. I mean, look, there are a lot of teams that are named after the Cowboys, and not because they were slaughtered or otherwise abused. It's sort of an American story, rightly told or wrongly told.
Right.
But I think that's why they're there. I understand that. I don't really care. You know.
Right.
I
mean,
that's where I am. To be honest with you,
exactly.
After all this,
there are people like who are still call Marquette the Marquette Warriors, and I just think, you know, you've kind of missed it. But I am a little apprehensive about letting an offended class dictate everything.
Well, I'm hesitant to allow people who get belligerent and sometimes violent and nasty say, this is our tradition, you're not going to touch it. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And
that
to me gets really ugly. And I watch it unfold on social media when it comes to Lane Tech. Obviously, we went through it at the University of Illinois.
I'm amazed that anybody was able to get away with this anymore. I thought all of these fights had been fought and lost.
Well, people dig in, though. People that want to protect it and keep these images.
This argument has been had so many times. My perception is that the tide is coming in. You cannot fight this anymore.
It's going to change.
However righteous your cause is or your love of this benevolent image, that's not the way we're interpreting it these days. Confederate statues are coming down, and doggone it, your mascot. If I was the superintendent of that school who said we're going to look into it, I'd look into it tomorrow, and the next day I would fix it. I would say, we're not going to do the mascot kid anymore. We're not going to do that. It's gone. And the students will be outraged. And then they'll go to algebra class.
I think maybe their parents would be outraged. I don't think the alums
really the alumni. Yeah.
I got to tell you, the we'll post the video. You can watch it after you listen to this podcast. But the students really were psyched about this. I thought it was nice to see them. Maybe some of the kids are mocking it and rolling their eyes, but it seemed to be genuine enthusiasm for the school and the mascot and that and those two kids that were on this floor.
You know, I went to Bishop McNamara High School, and they're. Mascot is the Fighting Irish, and well, it was under fire until, well, thank God Conor McGregor came out for us this weekend. Backed up the nickname.
My high school, we were the Regents. We couldn't even be the Kings. We were the damn
the Regents.
We were the Regents of West Senior High School of Madison, Wisconsin.
My grade school was the Trojans, which just led to a lot of condo.
Boy, there's, I know, really. That's terrible. I would change that before
very
I would change
sad.
That. I would start there.
I don't get that, Patty.
By the way, Connor McKnight is this, what is he, WWE? He's
I don't know.
One of these
one of those guys
ultimate fighters.
Fights with everything he's got.
He's got 1,000 tattoos. He's got a mean-looking face. He's ferocious. He's made $100 million fighting and... He's just
they should make a mascot
guy.
Based on that guy.
No, he
really,
just threw something.
But he picked
arrested.
Up a chair or something and threw it into the window of a bus, a great big bus parking in an underground garage. And he's mad for some reason. And he picks up the chair and hurls it at the side window of the bus. The head of the organization, this fighting thing.
The Fighting Fighters.
He said, this is the most outrageous and offensive thing that has ever happened in the history of Ultimate Fighting. And I thought, except for Ultimate Fighting.
What did the bus do to him?
I know. I think he was mad at somebody in the bus.
Oh.
We're going to Trump land now. Will Scott Pruitt be in the employ of the federal government by July 4th?
No.
The president today said that he's doing a great job, and he tweeted that, can you believe this fake media that seems to think it knows what's going to happen? Scott is solid, said the president. So out by the 4th of July.
Well, usually it's the week before when he starts really reemphasizing how much somebody is valuable
right.
and their worth, and then like a week later they're gone.
I mean, there was a story, was it this week, that his security guy was reassigned because he refused to turn the lights on in his car?
Well, yeah, he wanted him to get through traffic. He said, put the lights and siren on. He goes, it's not an emergency, we can't do that. 2 weeks later, that security detail guy is reassigned.
I know. This is head of the EPA. I mean, and apparently had to get to a fancy French restaurant. Stat.
I don't know the story.
True story.
I keep hearing
what?
References to it about the Secret Service had to break down his room because they could door because they couldn't get to him because he was asleep or wasn't responding. You guys are looking at me.
I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know. Pick the crazy Scott Pruitt story. He's either a curiosity or an embarrassment, the way that he's been spending money. The funny thing is, Scott Pruitt is actually getting more done than any of the Donald Trump cabinet members. If getting it done means doing what the president wants.
Rolling back regulations?
Yeah, really. He's your big rolling back regulations daddy. Some people believe that the reason the president is so sticking up for him is ultimately he wants him to be attorney general and then to be the bag man for some work over
there. Yeah, but Jeff Sessions, do you remember that Seinfeld where the George character tried to break up with his girlfriend and she just said no?
I want you to know I've given this a lot of thought. I'm sorry, but we have to break up.
No.
What's that?
We're not breaking up.
This is what Jeff Sessions is. Trump over and over says, we're not a couple anymore. We're done. And Jeff just says,
no. We're still a couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go. Well, Sessions has a great threshold for pain, doesn't he?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the stuff that this guy's heaped on him, and he's still happily doing the country's work, but the president and the administration's work.
Okay, so the security shows up at Pruitt's apartment. I found it.
You found the story.
The place
okay, here we go.
The place he was renting, I think, for $50 a day. And he was unresponsive. The Capitol Police were called, and because they were concerned for his safety, they broke down the door. And when they got in there, he said he was taking a nap. And this is during the day, the EPA administrator.
How old is he? You get to take a nap in the middle of the day. It's good for you.
I don't get to take a nap in the middle of the day.
So he's such a sound sleeper that they had to break down. Where was he sleeping, by the way? Where did this happen?
It was in Washington.
In his office?
No, it was in his condo, this apartment. And so they were concerned for his safety, so they broke the door down.
Okay, wait a minute.
And now they're fighting over who pays for the door. Like, they want the EPA to pay for the door.
Wait a minute. So he's taking a nap in his condo, which by right you can do in America still.
Right. But he's a cabinet member, and if they can't reach him, they start to worry that maybe there's something wrong.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, because was there a spotted owl issue that they needed his immediate emergency opinion on?
There was when McCollum, this woman who was nearby, when McCollum was unable to help them find a key to access Pruitt's unit, local law enforcement called by Pruitt's detail and Capitol Police broke down the door to the condo. He was inside where he told ABC he had been napping.
Hey, what's up, guys? Wow, what happened to the door? Woo, someone's going to have to pay for that. All right, will he have a job by the 4th of July, Scott Stannis?
No.
No.
Patty Vasquez says no. Really? Okay. The president, by the way, is not going to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Good decision, bad decision.
That's a terrible decision. It's a good opportunity to actually show a sense of humor, which this president has never shown that he has one, other than to bully and make fun of other people and punch down. So maybe it's a good thing. They're sending the his press secretary.
I wish he was doing it, because remember that one he gave with
it's
he
the
and Hillary?
Got him to be president, right?
Well, yeah.
Say what you will about Mr. Trump. He certainly would bring some change to the White House.
He got taunted into it. But remember when he did the one for the Archdiocese of New York?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. He thought he was all funny and roasting Hillary.
The Al Smith dinner, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was
there are some of us who truly believe that Donald Trump is president today because Barack Obama made too much fun of him years ago.
Yeah, I think it's good that he doesn't go, actually.
I'm with you on
for
that.
For the country.
I mean, well, right.
I really
What's
do.
What's the upside?
I
mean, what is the upside to him going there? It's not going to go well. It would be hostile.
I mean, if you don't like him, it'd be really enjoyable to watch him grimace, but big picture.
But this year, don't forget, he did go to the gridiron, which is off the record. But he did attend that.
Yeah,
so,
So Sarah Sanders is going to go?
Wait. She's going to do the Correspondents' Dinner?
Yes.
Oh. So, and I wonder what that means.
Because she shows it. She has a great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say.
Man. Wow.
And the truthiness is way up there, too.
Did you see her reading Easter books to children?
No.
Oh, you have to watch the video of her. So she'll read a page and then turn it around and show it to the... she has that press conference face, too. I mean, the exact same. There's the page. There's the picture.
Any questions? No. Move on.
It's fantastic.
The president says that we're not in a trade war with China. And by the way, none of these tariffs have actually been enacted. It's our paper against their paper.
That was Larry Kudlow's point today. And he says, look, I'm the happy warrior here. This could all work out really well. The president on a radio interview earlier today said, sure, it looks like some people are going to have to suffer some pain, but it'll be good for the country as a whole. And then you've got Kudlow coming out saying, well, it's not done yet. We're still negotiating. So,
right.
And Kudlow was against it before he even took the job. So,
well, it's I don't want to use the word threat, but it's posturing. It's negotiating. It's like, hey, if you don't give us that, this is what we're going to do.
It's more than that. The Dow's down about 400 points as we sit.
Again.
People are suffering for
this.
Well,
I think
and
people,
don't forget, and look at the employment figures came out.
4.1%?
100,000.
4.2?
A little over 103,000 jobs.
Yeah, which is anemic. No,
unemployment is low.
Trade wars don't work. Period. They never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever, ever work. They don't. Everyone loses. The farmers are going to lose on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that there's a trade deficit with somebody is a ridiculous notion. That's not how economics work.
And don't you think China has a higher threshold for pain than we
do? Totally. Totally.
They
don't care.
They don't care.
Like if the billion people in China go, we're not cool with this, the Chinese leadership goes, yeah, we are. Okay, but they interview farmers in Illinois and Iowa, and this is anecdotal. I haven't seen a National Farm Bureau Association poll of farmers, but a lot of them are saying things like this, because it's going to hurt soybean farmers and pig
farmers.
Corn, yeah. And they say, well, we're really disappointed, but we just have to believe that Donald Trump has our best interest at heart.
You had a caller on your show last week, I think, who had a great phrase I'd not heard before, but I love. It's easier to fool someone than to convince someone they've been fooled.
Yeah.
Right? What that speaks to is that it's true for any of us. You don't want to admit you're wrong or that you made a mistake, especially when it's not absolutely provable. So it's going to be hard for a lot of people, a lot of these diehard Trump supporters, to say, yeah, he's hurting me now. That's just going to be a big hurdle. They may get there. But it's a lot easier for someone who doesn't like the president to say this is a dumb thing.
Maybe that's magnanimous. Maybe that's large of these guys and gals. That is, yeah, I now have to take a bullet for the team. It's going to be hard on farmers. We're going to get less money as farmers because it'll be too expensive to buy our product.
Yeah, you say, well, you got took.
They're hoping for the best.
Can I praise the president for a moment?
Yeah. And I want to get to the militarization of the southern border. Go ahead.
Very briefly, the Wall Street Journal and others have been calling that the only way that sanctions against Russia are going to have any impact is if they're actually applied to people who are close to President for Life Putin. And yesterday, now in today's news cycle, the White House has done that. They've put sanctions against people who are very close to Putin, and that's going to have an effect.
Anything that's bad for an oligarch is okay for me, is my general attitude about that thing. Militarization of the southern border, Steve. The past two presidents also
sent
National Guard troops to guard the southern border.
They didn't do it when the crossings were at a 45-year low.
Yeah, I've heard both versions of that. That is that in March there was an uptick in that, and it was considerable. True. But historically we're at a 40-year low.
Do you think
low.
The uptick had anything to do with him sending the troops?
Well, what do you suppose the president's interest is then in sending the military?
Making immigration noise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's watching Fox talk about this caravan of protesters.
which
stopped hundreds of miles from the border.
As it always does.
Coming to take advantage of DACA, even though you have to have been here years
ago. It's not a DACA issue.
But think
but
of
he's
that.
Calling
he
it.
Said
he
that.
Said that.
I know.
So does that show, I'm so glad you brought that up, because does that show he doesn't understand DACA, or does that show that he thinks we are so stupid that we don't?
Can it be both?
But yes. But maybe. Also, I think a lot of people don't know what DACA is. I think that they do believe people continue to come here and take advantage of it. I keep meaning to ask the audience
But DACA is for kids who came here when they were very, very young, and now we don't know what to do with them. DACA would not impact an adult
or anybody
crossing the border now. Right. DACA is not relevant to them, except that you get to, again, use that as a sort of bargaining chip, I guess, against Democrats or Mexico or somebody.
And what are the Guard going to do? They're not going to engage. And I think the governors didn't know yet what their guard troops are going to do.
Yeah. Right. And you're talking about 4,000 tops of National Guardsmen.
Right.
It's a 1,800 mile long border. Do the math.
We got to do our recommendations.
Well, I just say one thing? I want to talk about the Oklahoma City teachers very briefly. So the teachers in Oklahoma, in a minor walkout in Kentucky this week, teachers in Oklahoma walked out across the state. They're outside the legislature today. They have forced the closure of schools in Oklahoma City for the week, and I think in the four top cities for at least a few days, this sort of uprising. And, you know, when we talk about the kids from Parkland marching and the women marching, this march follows a Kentucky march that followed a West Virginia march. And I just wonder if it might be something that we're going to see more of and will be effective. There's these teachers in Oklahoma City, there was a story of this first grader who was so proud because she got her first grade book and the previous users had signed it. And lo and behold, one of her heroes, Blake Shelton, had used the very textbook that little Mindy is using this year.
He's 41,
until you realize that he used that book in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
So the implication is they've been using the same first grade textbook
for 36 years.
The first Ronald Reagan term.
That's an issue.
Wow.
That should be addressed.
Steve, while you're still talking, something you're reading, watching, listening to, or consuming?
I'm in a drought, so I'm just going to say the weather's not going to be great this week, so it makes it easier to put your feet up on the couch and enjoy a tradition unlike any other.
Oh, yeah, the Masters.
And watch the Masters.
some smart person said this week that people are more excited about this year's Masters than they have been in decades. And the nice thing about the Masters is that the grass is green, even if it's cool. I saw the breath when Arnie Palmer was, who was it? It was Jack Nicklaus was teeing off. He does the celebratory sort of first shot, and Gary Player. And you could see their breath. It was that cold, but it still looked beautiful.
In Georgia?
In Georgia.
Wow.
That morning,
it's a little chilly.
It was chilly enough that you could see their breath. But the grass was green and the flowers were pretty. What are you liking?
I did something this week. I decided to delete my Facebook app off of my phone, so I'm not getting constant updates. And I'm reading actual newspapers. I'm reading the Chicago Tribune cover to cover. It's weird how it reorganizes your brain.
Are you reading it online?
No, I'm saying the actual newspaper. Yes, that
paper
stuff.
Paper edition.
And it's funny. It's sad that it feels quaint to go, but the way you forget how it's organized, you know, whether it's, you know, how the front page and then the columns and even like the Sneedlings I hadn't read in the Sun-Times. Is that in the Sun-Times or the Tribune?
The what?
Sneedlings, that's Sun-Times.
Sun-Times, right. So I'm reading both papers and I'm like, right. Those are the things that you no longer pay attention to because you just go to the headlines that you want to come through your app. So I've been reading the newspapers.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. But yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
No, but I think you're absolutely right, too. And one thing that you also see when you read the analog version of a newspaper is the placement of the ads.
Yes.
You know, the newspaper. And by the way, there's not as many as there used to be. And that's something that we all need to sort of figure out in traditional media. But the layout and display, I love it.
Because I used to read the paper every single day on the way to school when I was going to Lane Tech.
Really?
Because I rode the bus and the train to go to school. So I would read the paper. And I felt like I was a kid. That's like a weird thing.
In our condo building, ours is the only unit that gets a newspaper drop off.
Is that right?
My guess is that other people in the building are digitally reading the paper. Now, I don't know. I have no way of knowing, but I know I'm the only one getting a print edition.
Yeah, same. We're the only one on our floor who does.
How about you, Scotty? What are you recommending?
I am recommending one of my favorite artists. I discovered him here many years ago. Talked about him on Patty's show last night. Richard Shipps is having an exhibit at the Robert Morris University at the corner of Van Buren and State, a magnificent, huge space. And Richard does these, and you know, full disclosure, Richard has become a friend over time, but his work has always been, I think, extraordinary. And one of the very best artists working in Chicago right now. So do yourself a big fat favor, go to the Robert Morris University gallery. It's on the corner of Van Buren and State, and look at the work of cut paper, abstract, work of Richard Shipps.
Cool.
I've been looking at the Chicago History Museum's gallery on Martin Luther King and his time in Chicago.
Sure.
And how important that was to the movement and to Martin Luther King. And where you might have thought, he might have thought, well, it's worse in the South. He saw the hate in the North when he came here and was taken aback by it. And they tell that story really well. Oh, and this is sort of an anti-recommendation.
Oh.
I saw Ready Player One last night, the new Steven Spielberg movie.
And
you didn't like it?
I don't think it's very good at all.
Wow. Love it. I've heard as mixed reviews. I've heard it all across the board.
It's for the video game generation. You know, if you could be an avatar, jump into a video game, and you're fighting monsters and evil creatures and driving a car through impossible traffic, and it's exciting.
You just described living in Chicago. Sorry.
True story.
But after a while, it's sensory overload. It's a lot. And the story's pretty simple. I was expecting so much more from Steven Spielberg, and I didn't get it. So in my house, we have a 1 to 23 Jujubee scale.
1 to 23?
1 to 23 Jujubees, because 1 to 10's been done.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, 4 stars, well, everybody gets a 3. But 1 to 23, now you got to think about it, don't you? My son went with us,
wow.
Brenda, Griffin, and I. Griff gave it like a 16, which is pretty low.
Is he a gamer?
No, not at all. He's a movie buff, and he was I don't know if he was disappointed, but he didn't like it that much. And I'm about a 15 on that, too.
Because apparently there's a lot of Easter eggs for folks of a certain age.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of stuff in the background that you just go, oh, that's cool.
It's filled with 1980s pop culture references. Listen, I was paying attention in the 80s, and so I'm watching this movie. I mean, that should be kind of in my wheelhouse, right? It's Steven Spielberg. It's got 1980s references. There's a whole scene where they take actual scenes from The Shining, insert it in here, and then these characters interact with the elevator scene where the blood comes out and stuff like that in The Shining, you know? So it's amazing that they're able to integrate those, and they had the right to do so. But there were times where people in the theater would all start to laugh, and I'm like, what? Whoa, I missed something. There's an inside joke somewhere in there, and I didn't get it, you know? Ready Player One, my scale, 15 Jujubes out of 23.
We'll do a see that, Scott.
Okay.
You guys, you know what? Get back to me when you do see it and let me know. Patty Vasquez, nice of you to come in early.
Thank you.
And Scott Stantis,
on
always
Friday.
Good to see you.
I just went to bed a few hours ago.
I know.
Another day, we'll hear Eric Zorn and Kristen McQuarrie. Thank you to Steve Bertrand. Hey, Bob Ferguson is the engineer of this week's edition of The Mincing Rascals. It's produced by Elif Garris. I'm John Williams. We'll drop another podcast on you next week.
Subscribe to The Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can also listen online on the WGN Plus app or WGNradio.com. Just click on the WGN Plus tab. The Mincing Rascals podcast is a presentation of the WGN Plus Podcast Network. You can also catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.